next hotspot for oil and gas exploration.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. The Arctic could be a major hotspot for oil and natural gas. But who owns the rights to the riches thought to be under the Arctic seabed? A major international summit on the issue opens today in Moscow. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So who's going to be at the summit, and what are they trying to achieve there?
Well, geologists and officials from countries with Arctic interests will be there. That's the US, Russia, Norway, Canada, and Denmark. Now, they've all laid claim to great chunks of the Arctic Ocean bed. The Russians, you may remember, actually planted a Russian flag on the sea floor. A United Nations commission is going to rule on these claims, but given the potential riches, there's obvious scope for conflict. So today's summit will attempt to create a climate of cooperation and compromise over the Arctic.
What's beneath the Arctic seabed, Stephen? Is it worth all of this?
We don't know for sure, but according to the U.S. Geological Survey, it could hold 25% of the world's undiscovered oil. There are skeptics who doubt this, but the case for Arctic oil got a bit of a boost today. A small British company, Cairn Energy, said it had struck oil for the first time off the coast of Greenland. Too early to say whether this is a major find. Environmentalists, however, are not happy. The Arctic is becoming a new battleground for them. They say if there's a major spill in those icy waters, it'll take years to degrade. It'll be much, much worse environmentally than the Gulf of Mexico.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Over in Scotland, there's a big debate over how to continue making the sporran. That's the little pouch the Scottish use as an accessory bag for their kilts. For centuries, the sporran's been made of seal skin. The European Union recently banned the use of seal skin. But a loophole in the law could help save sporran production, as the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
Since the ban was introduced, kilt makers in Scotland have had to rely on existing stocks, and they've been reluctantly turning to alternatives like pony skin, rabbit, and badger. Duncan Chisholm is the founding member of the Scottish Kiltmakers Association.
There's many other skins that we've used in the past, but certainly in comparison to the seal skin, it's got the beautiful texture, the quality and the luster to it that many of these other skins just don't have.
But the kilt-making industry is excited about early discussions it's been having with Inuit communities in northern Canada. The EU banned seal products from commercial hunts in order to protect seals from pain and distress. But it also acknowledged the economic and social importance of the seal trade to Indigenous people. So seal skins from the Inuits will be allowed into Europe. But Chisholm warns that even if the deal with the Inuit communities works out, the cost of seal skin sporrans could go up, and the quality may not be quite what his customers are used to. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And you can learn more about how kilts are made at our website, marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. World stock markets are down today after the Federal Reserve, said it was standing by to do more to help the U.S. economy. Yesterday on Wall Street, the NASDAQ and S&P each lost about 0.25%. The Dow did manage a slight gain, though, 7 points to close at 10,761.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
This isn't going to sound very nice, but most of us have no clue when it comes to energy savings. That's a basic finding of a recent study out of Columbia University. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Adrian Hill is with us now in the studio to talk about where a lot of us are getting it wrong. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Steve.
So what the study found is that when it comes to energy savings, we're all idiots?
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, researchers asked people what one thing they could do that would be the most effective way to save energy. And survey says people said turning off the lights.
Well, that makes sense. What's wrong with that?
Well, turning off the light and other curtailment activities, as researchers like to call them, may not save as much energy as we like to think. A better choice might be making efficiency improvements, like installing more energy-efficient light bulbs or driving non-gas guzzlers.
So what are the things, Adrian, we do that we think save more energy than they actually save?
Well, so there's turning off the lights. Yeah. There's driving slower on the highway, maybe stepping it down to 55. People think that saves more energy than it actually does. Unplugging your phone charger. Again, these things do save energy, but not as much as people guess.
And what do we underrate? What saves more than most people think they save?
Driving cars that get better mileage, using room air conditioners instead of central air, and running more efficient appliances.
Are there any thoughts, Adrian, as to why the misconception is out there, why people overestimate the energy savings of some choices and then they underestimate the savings of others?
One explanation that makes a lot of sense to me is that doing things like driving less, turning off the lights, changing the thermostat are all activities that are free or save money. On the other hand, new light bulbs cost money up front. New appliances or a new car cost a lot of money, and they're just a bigger commitment. One of my favorite findings in this study is those of us who do things like turn off the lights and unplug our chargers actually have less accurate perceptions of energy use and energy savings than people who don't.
Why is that?
Well, one theory the researchers propose is that those of us who do turn out the lights are unrealistic optimists about the impact of our choices on the environment.
All right. Marketplace's sustainability reporter Adrian Hill with us here in the studio. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, for those 33 miners in Chile who are stuck 2,000 feet beneath the Earth's surface, Chilean officials are now offering PR folks to teach the men how to become more media savvy. Through closed-circuit television, the miners will receive instructions on things like how to remain poised during an interview and how to avoid answering a question. So when they are finally rescued from that subterranean crevice, they'll find comfort in another enclosed space, the media bubble. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Check us out online, marketplace.org. Share your thoughts with us there and download the podcast, too. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.